Good evening, everyone. Thanks for joining us on the Sunday Debrief. My name's Lee Finch. This is the Wombles Had a Dream podcast, the number one AFC Women podcast, and still the only unofficial AFC Women podcast on the market. If you have anything you want to say regarding AFC Women, yesterday's 2-1 win against Mansfield, regarding Ali Al Hamadi's move to Ipswich, looks likely to be happening. That's the rumours that are going around. If you want to discuss that and anything else regarding Wimbledon that you want to speak about, press the speak button. If you can't talk or you're busy or something's going on, but you want to get involved, put some messages in the comments and we'll go through them best we can. I have a slight cold at the moment, so I do sound a bit rough, so bear with me. But as I say, if you want to say anything, press the speak button, put it in the comments and we'll go through it. So yes, we'll start with yesterday's 2-1 win against Mansfield. Scoring a last-minute winner is always good, always enjoyable. I wasn't at the game, unfortunately, but I did watch it. And the scenes and the limbs looked unreal when... what's his name scored? Oh, what's his name? The Irish geezer, we just signed from Portsmouth. Can't remember his name now. But yeah, when he scores, it looked unbelievable. So yeah, we started with Alex Bass in goal. Left-back was Jack Curry. Ogden Deer came in for the suspended Billa on the right back. And then we had Lee Brown coming in for the injured Ryan Johnson and suspended Paul Kalambai. And then Lewis as the other centre back. Then it was kind of a four in midfield with Little and Reeves in the middle. We had left side was Gordon, the Palace loanee. Right side was Little. Who was right side? Oh, I'm having a mare today already. Who was right side for Wimbledon yesterday? I can't remember. It was right side. And then Davison up front with Bugle just behind. Oh, Tilly. That's it. James Tilly. I've had a mare already today, so bear with me. That's it. I'm not feeling great. Yeah, so 2-1. I've got to say, first half, I thought we played okay. I thought we were good. I thought the red card changed the game, and especially their other centre-back going off injured. That was massive for us. The red card after Tuesday's events... I was screaming for a red card. I don't think it is a red card. I think there's enough pitch to make up for one of the defenders to get back and make a challenge. But again, as I said, after Tuesday and having two players sent off for similar, then yeah, it is. We asked for consistency, and I think the ref, that's what we got yesterday with that decision. As I said, their centre-back going off was big. I thought first half we'd done all right. Second half was absolute horrid. I thought we were horrendous. I thought Johnny Jackson's tactics and formation wasn't great in the second half. But again, you score a last-minute winner and all is forgotten. Jonathan, you wanted to come in quickly and say something. What did you want to say, mate?
So yesterday was probably, when Ronan Curtis scored that winner, that was probably the loudest I've cheered as a Wimbledon fan in 5 years. I absolutely loved it. Yes, we didn't look great at times. Yes, we should have, you know, even playing the team that's third in the table, down a man for, you know, what were they down? Someone for 70 minutes and we couldn't put the game totally without a reach. That's not good. You know, should Mansfield have gotten a penalty late in the game? Absolutely, they should have. I think that was a missed call. But, you know, I think about all of the games that we've been on the other side of that, where we were the ones that didn't get a call and let up a goal in the last seconds, because it feels like there's been a lot of those in the last 5 years. And to be on the other side of that, and you know, to see our lads going all the way to the end of both halves. You know, both of our goals were scored in stoppage time, and that is a level of character and commitment and dedication that we sadly have not seen a lot over the last 5 years. So yeah, there's a lot to be concerned about with the way they played yesterday, but there's a lot to be really, really happy about, not just in the result, but you know, the fact that they never gave up, they kept fighting, they kept playing Wimbledon football. I there's a lot to be happy about, and I hope that on the whole all the fans are just ecstatic.
Yeah, I agree. I think big point yesterday. I think the bench cam came out, and we've all seen the scenes with the players and the management all going absolute mental. That shows the togetherness of the squad and what it means to actual, like, the manager was just like he was uncontrollable yesterday when we scored, which I think is good to see, especially after Tuesday night. We asked for a reaction. I was worried, as I said, I didn't think we played well second half. Jackson's tactics and formation when they 10 men second half and we 1-0 up, I think we should have brought on a bit more attacking threat and gone at them a bit more. But as you said, there was a togetherness. We kept going till the end. I was happy for McLean when he came on because, as I said, I said before, maybe he needs another loan because Kidderminster fans were not raving about him. They were saying he wasn't at their level. So that was a bit of a worry. We've seen him in two cameos now and he's done well. Ronan Curtis, that's the boy. Thanks for reminding me, Jonathan. But yeah, he is a League One footballer playing for us in League Two at the moment and he's been out for 18 months. People have to be patient with Ronan Curtis. It's a long road that he's been on from the injury, mentally and with the injuries he had. We can't just throw him straight in and play 90 minutes. People are saying, why was he not starting on Tuesday? Why is he not starting on Saturday? We're going to see him coming on 20, 30 minutes here and there at the moment until we can build fitness up. And then if he can get fit, we have some player on our hands there. Kevin, how are you? What did you want to say? Kevin? Hello, Kevin. Are you there? Jonathan, are you there? Can you hear me?
Yeah, I'm here. I can still hear you. I don't know. Kevin's not able to get on right now.
Oh. It always worries me when people just don't come on or they go on. I think, have I frozen? Me again? Or
if you ever need a confidence that you're on, just say, hey, Jonathan, and I will talk to make sure that you know.
Because it doesn't tell you if there's issues or anything on it. It's just a guessing game. Kevin, you're back.
Yeah, you are. Yeah, sorry, mate. It dropped out. How you doing, mate? You all right, yeah?
I'm very well.
Yeah, good. Very well. I think your sort of analysis of the whole game was pretty spot on. I thought we had a reasonable first half. Second half was poor. I think on the, looking back and the way he'd cobbled together a side, I mean, the defence weren't exactly what you'd put out as first choice. And the fact that we kept going to the end, you know, we rode our luck, but how many times have we seen them go against us? So I think overall it was a good game. Certainly for if you'd have gone there as a neutral, you'd have been more than happy watching it. And you can't beat a last minute winner. You know, it's just there's nothing like it, is it, mate? So I thought overall, it was a all right first half, an average second half. They certainly were up for it in the second half and looked better with 10 men, to be honest. But at the end of the day, we scored the winner and we got 3 points. So it's just, take it and move on. But lots to be happy about, but some to not be happy about.
No, I totally agree. And I think, as I said, last minute winner, kind of everyone forgets what the game's been like. You could be dreadful for the whole 90 minutes, score a last minute winner and everyone just goes home happy. And that's what we want, to be fair. You want people to go home happy, especially after the week we've just had, the result we just had up on Tuesday. As I said, unfortunately, I didn't think the set. I think if we hadn't scored that last minute winner, it would have been a totally different debrief today. It would have been totally different scenes on social media yesterday. But I'm happy that ain't the case. I'm pretty happy that we're coming on and discussing performances in Ronan Curtis, performances in other players. I thought Little was tremendous again yesterday. As I said, McLean done on, I thought he well. I thought Ogundia done a really good job showing how good he is defensively. Biller, we all know, can get forward, but he has been found out the last few weeks or bit here and there this season regarding his defensive duties. And Ogundia came in, I thought he was superb. On the negative side, I did think Lee Brown had a really bad game, but you're throwing someone in at centre-back who hasn't played any minutes recently. He's a much older player than he was previously. And as I said, I would have preferred, honestly, myself, Sutcliffe to come in, but he's a young lad. And maybe that was too big a game for him yesterday. I hope we delve into the loan market for a centre-back or we trust Sutcliffe going forward because I wouldn't want to see Lee Brown starting centre-back week in, week out. Sance, what did you want to say, mate?
Hello, mate. I missed the initial few minutes. I thought we rode our luck a bit, but as others have said, it's about time we got a rub of the green. The only one you've not mentioned is old Flash Gordon, the Palace lad. I thought he did really well second half. He was flying. He looked really good with Jack Curry. No one seems to have mentioned, I don't know if you're aware, there was a flare-up with the fans around Davison when he came off, because everyone was focusing on Andy Garner, who went crazy, their coach. But when Davison came off, there was a few words from the fans towards him. And I feel sorry for him, but he's not at this level, so I don't know what we do, because we haven't mentioned Omar as well. I thought, again, he was classy. He pulled up with a bit of a, I don't know what it was, his tie. But overall, we did enough. I thought it was a soft pen, but Lee Brown was too slow. But no one's mentioned Reeves. Reeves ducked out of that as well. I didn't think he was totally great, but it was all about the win at the end of the day.
No, I agree. And I think Bugle, I think someone else has said it here, Womble G, you said Bugle is just as important as Ali. The guy was immense in the first half. And I have to agree, but then I'm expecting Bugle to come back in and be decent, because I'm not being rude, he's just had a holiday. He's just been in Qatar. He's played, 70 minutes for Lebanon. I think that's all he got. He's just had, week or two off. He should be refreshed. He should be coming back in a better mood, in a better frame with regards to his fitness. So he has had a glorified holiday, but he is integral to what we do as a team. You can see that when Pell come on. Again, I didn't think Pell had a good game. I don't know where Pell sits with us, where he plays for us anymore. But yeah, I agree. I didn't see the Davison stuff. Obviously, did see the stuff with their Shrek-looking assistant manager, which I thought was hilarious. The geezer was giving him stick, only looked about 17. And Garner was trying to get right in his face. And I don't know if everyone saw the West Brom Wolves game, and there was loads of naughty scenes, as the television were saying, and scenes that no one wants to see. Well, when you've got assistant managers coming into the crowd and stuff like that, what do people expect? People are seeing this stuff from actual professional people in charge. The assistant manager should know better and just jog off down the tunnel. But unlucky, they walked away with 0 points and we walked away with three. So, Jonathan, what did you want to come back with?
Okay, so I want to talk about Reeves. He had a horrible game. He really did not look good. And if you look back at the goal that we conceded, I think the two people who are most responsible for that are Lee Brown and Jake Reeves. You know, I think that Reeves was right there and he could have put a foot on it and he didn't. And actually, right after the goal scored, I think you watched his body language. And I think you could tell he knew he missed it, that he completely flubbed it. So, yeah, Reeves did not have a good game, and that was very disappointing. I agree with you that Brown should not be starting at center back. I think his best use for us is a backup left back, and that's really the only time I ever want to see him on the pitch. And Davison, yeah, again, disappointing. I think that really right now, Davison needs to be third choice striker on this team, and that we're not there, unfortunately. And with losing Ali, we're gonna have to do something different for sure, because he just does not rate well enough to be a first choice striker on this side if we have any ambitions of doing anything other than avoiding relegation.
No, I agree. And Reeves, it was a bad game for him, but the problem we have at the moment is with our squad being threadbare. People have said it before regarding Reeves and Little, maybe they're being overplayed. We can't afford sometimes to take them both out. I think that was the case yesterday. We couldn't take Reeves out as captain after the Scum game, because obviously it makes a statement during the week. So it would have been strange if we had taken him out to rest him, which maybe is what he needs. Davison, I don't feel sorry for, because again, I don't rate him as a League 2 footballer, but he needs someone up alongside him. So that's why yesterday I thought we might have gone with two up top with Gordon next to Davison. He does struggle when he's on his own. He struggled the last few weeks. Mick's not about, which is a shame. I would like to have claimed my beer off Mick, to be fair, but I'll speak to him about that. But yeah, I thought Davison had a poor game. I thought Gordon was really good yesterday. Shows glimpses of what he can do. Pace, skill, likes to run at people. He looks a good addition. But yeah, we'll talk about Ali leaving shortly. But yeah, we do look short up front. And as I said, if we can get Roland Curtis fit as quickly as possible, but that's going to be a struggle. As I said, he's been out for 18 months. Kev, what did you want to come back with?
I just wanted to sort of say about Reeves and Brown, really. I thought Reeves had a really good game. I didn't really see him misplace a pass. I thought he generaled it like he normally does. The interesting thing about Brown, if you watch the game in the second half, Brown was playing pretty much as a left wing back. He was up with Curry. We had three down that left going forwards, which left just Lewis at the back on his own. And that's where he gave the fucking ball away and nearly messed up. But Reeves was actually slotting in and playing centre back with Lewis. So he was playing, I don't think it was one of his best games. I don't think he did that bad, but he was playing a totally unnatural role, because when we were going forward at the end, we had one at the back. So, do you know, I thought he came on. He did all right, Brown. He definitely, I think if it's a junior player, that's a pen, because if you watch him, he gets the ball and he just runs away like nothing's happened. I've seen a picture of Lewis and he looks absolute mortified. He's looking around at the referee thinking, fuck, there's the pen. Yeah. So I didn't think he played too bad. He fucked up for the goal. That's that, you know, you can't take that away. But I thought he did all right as a fill-in, but I'd still sooner have seen Sutcliffe in there.
I agree. And I think for the pen, I think if that was against us, we'd be absolutely going mental now. He literally has three quarters of his shirt in his hand. If the geezer goes down slight, I've seen the opposite angle from Don's vlogs in the East Stand, and you can't see the shirt being pulled. So maybe that's where the ref view is.
If you look, the ref, I reckon, was obscured, because I think it was Lewis was in the way and there was a couple of their players, and I don't think he could see it. I don't think he could see the shirt pull. The only person who's going to be able to see the shirt pull is probably the lino, and he ain't going to give it. But he was quite clever, because he pulled him, and as soon as he started to go down, you see the shirt ping back. He's let the shirt go down, and it does look, I've seen a couple of angles, and it almost looks like he takes the dive. So I can see why he didn't give it, but do you know what? I'd have been screaming if it had been us for sure.
No, I agree. Exactly. So seeing it on TV, I had my hands in my hand going, that's a pen. And then the ref don't give it. I'm like, bloody hell, I don't know how we've got away with that one. Someone makes a great point here. Harry, the Don, said, wondered why Josh Davidson got man of match. Could make sense of why fans were giving him some stick. I don't know who sponsored the game yesterday, but I'm sure I saw a rumour, and this could be just someone making it up, saying that Josh Davidson's family were sponsoring the game yesterday. So I don't know if that's true or not, but yeah, I don't know how he got man of match yesterday. But that's the problem with man of match, when the sponsors pick it, because they could be just picking their favourite player, they could be picking a family member or someone that's just like, do you know what I mean? Alex Butler, I don't remember a time recently where we have celebrated like that. Was proper effort, could be huge momentum, especially with Ali leaving. However, we do need to replace him. What do you think about Tolage from Aldershot? We'll go on to that in a minute regarding Ali and possible. I don't think I remember a time of seeing us celebrate like that. I think, again, with what happened on Tuesday, as I said, some people don't agree with the statement that Reeves put out. I'm not a big fan of that, to be fair. But I think we needed the club to pull together, because everyone was in the same space regarding them. And I think we need to start doing that on a weekly basis now, being in the same space regards to winning games of football. Whatever you think of Johnny Jackson, he's our manager now. Contract, new contract, not contract. We have to get behind the boys now till the end of the season, because we have a real chance of getting in the playoffs. I thought we were out of it. I said to Danny on the podcast, I thought we were done for the season. It depends on how we replace Ali. Could be another defining factor into that. But I think at the moment we support the boys until it's mathematically impossible to get in the playoffs. And we still have a chance at the moment. You know me, if people listen to the podcast or listen to this, I'm very fickle. One week we're winning the league, next minute we're getting relegated. So, yeah, bear with it. So, yeah, what else do people want to say regarding, like, as I said, someone else has put here regarding, big shout out to Bass, who started the move. Did everyone else have their heart in their mouth when Bass turns like a Cruyff kind of turn and then sets the move away? Anyone else there? Want to speak about that?
Yeah, mine was, I think it was the move of the game, to be quite honest with you. It was unreal, but I think in the euphoria of watching it, I didn't really realise how good that goal was. And you watch it, and it's some goal. You probably won't see many better goals this season, from the way we just worked it down. And the ball from Little was just absolutely unreal. You know, it made the goal, really. McLean just had to get to it and hook his foot around it, but he absolutely hit a peach. So, yeah, but the Cruyff turn was something else, mate, wasn't it?
Yeah, no, McLean, I think, as I said, I I said he might need a loan, because I'm only going by what Kidderminster fans have said about the loan that he had there, and they said he went great. Conference North would be his level, but he's come and he's training with Wimbledon full time again, so he knows the way we want to play. That run that he made was perfect, and the cross to hit it first time was just brilliant. He knew there'll be someone running across the box, and Ronan Curtis has shown his experience in not just trying to whack it first time, to actually take a touch and then put it in the net. And I thought, yeah, as you said, Kevin, I thought the goal was just perfect in every sense. Lewis back to Bass. Bass takes it, you know what I mean? It's just perfectly done. And the fact they had 10 men meant that we had a bit more space in that area to play out, because they dropped deep and let us play. And then, yeah, I thought it was perfect. If anyone else wants to speak, if you want to say anything regarding the game yesterday, if you want to speak about Ali leaving and going to Ipswich, or any players that you might have heard that are coming in, press that speak button or send us a message in the comments and we'll go through them best we can. Anyone want to discuss yesterday's game quickly before, and we'll move on otherwise, because as I said, I think it's been all been said regarding yesterday's game. Terry May. Terry. One sec. I'm just loading Terry up now. Terry, how are you? You good?
Thanks, Lee. Evening all. I want to pick up on McLean and Little. I don't know whether anybody else noticed, but just before he sent that ball down the wing to McLean, Little pointed. And that might have been the problem where at King's Lynn, and he was probably expected to perform all the time without any help from older pros. Whereas here, they know he's still learning. And Little said, you go there, I'll put the ball there, and we're away. And we all saw what happened.
Yeah, no, I agree. As I said, I think Little's been our best player this season, consistently good most weeks. I can't remember the time when he's had a bad game. I think he's consistent all the time. I also think that we need to be offering him a contract ASAP. I think he really needs to get a contract in, because I think it runs out at the end of the summer or the end of the season. And I think him and Bugle, as someone said earlier regarding Bugle, the way we play, them two are instrumental to it. And I think contracts need to be passed down and given to them as soon as possible, even before Jackson gets offered one. I think them two need one soon. Right, so let's move on. We'll discuss Ali. So rumours have it that Ali Al-Ahmadi has, we will be signing for Ipswich in the next few days. John, did you want to speak about yesterday's game quickly? Or
no, I'm chomping to talk about Ali.
Right, let me just set the scene and then I'll bring you in, mate. So Ali is, yeah, off to Ipswich. The rumoured transfer fee is around the around 2 million mark. I've read somewhere about 1.7 million and more if Ipswich get promoted to the Premier League. There'll be add-ons included on that and a sell-on fee as well. There's different rumours going around regarding Ali and his conduct regarding this. So I don't, again, do not take this with all a pinch of salt. This is just what I've seen on Twitter, socials, and what people spoke to me about. But Ali's apparently left the Wimbledon players WhatsApp group. Ali's taken AFC Wimbledon out of his Instagram and Twitter bios. And also he's told the club that he wants a move to Ipswich. It's even got so bad that the Iraq football podcast have even unfollowed AFC Wimbledon, apparently. And as I said earlier, I think Chris Thorpe and the media team are going to be crying soon, because our followers on Twitter, TikTok and all socials will be dropping by a significant number. It's hard to say regarding Ali. This might sound harsh, but he's played for us for what, one season? Pretty much, he signed in January last year. We got him for a nominal fee with a 25% sell-on to Wickham, I believe. And we finished fourth from bottom last year. We're just outside the playoffs this year. He spent a lot of time on international duty. He does score goals. He's been absolutely fantastic for us. But making a £1.5 million profit, if it's that, is just too good for our club to turn down at the moment. I'll come on to what I've heard regarding rumours of players that we might be looking at to replace him. But I think we need to go down the same model that we did with Ali, is get someone who's young, who's hungry, and there's a sell-on market that we can get into. But if Ali is doing what is the rumours, then I won't be too happy. But I'm going to wish him all the best in the future. Hope he goes to Ipswich and he smashes it up, which I think he will. But yeah, it's a bit cutting at this time that we would be losing it. Jonathan, what did you want to say, mate?
Well, I'm going to be sad to see him go, but I'm good with it because, I mean, that's what we are. We are a mid-budget League Two football club, and if we're going to get better, we need to get people cheap and sell them for a lot of money. That's just the economic model, and it's what we have to do, and if the deal was good, I'm totally for it. I don't give too much credit to the, you know, leaving the WhatsApp and the bio changes and stuff. You know, going from one club to another, it's always going to be hard. It's always going to be difficult. And it's never, you're never going to do it the way that the club you're leaving wants you to leave or the way that the club you're going to wants you to do it. So I don't give him any stick at that for all. I wish him the best. He was brilliant for us. I'm very happy we had him. And I'm very, very happy that we made £1.5 million off him. That's pretty amazing. On what we do next, I think, you know, the best case is that we get a first choice striker in by the end of the transfer window. And if we can't do that, there is another option here. I've been thinking about this. If we played a 4-3-3, and up front we had Gordon on the left, Bugle in the middle, Tilly on the right, and in midfield we had Little, Ball, and Reeves, that could be a winning tactic and form without getting another first-choice striker. Now, I think the best choice is to get a first-choice striker. It's got to be someone who's demonstrably better than Josh Davison. It's got to be a first-choice striker. But if we don't, I mean, if the choice is between, you know, running a 4-3-3 and a Terry Ablade type, I would rather run a 4-3-3.
I agree with what you're saying. The old WhatsApp group stuff's pretty funny. At the end of the day, Ali is on international duty, a major tournament for him and his country. I'm guessing that the WhatsApp group's probably going off with the players or something, trying to either winding them up or saying what's going on, and he probably thinks, oh, I can't be asked for this. My agent's dealing with any transfer news. I'm going to just sit and get told if I'm going for a medical and stuff like that. And I don't want my phone keep blowing up all the time. Maybe that's a reason why he's left the group. Or he just can't be asked with Pell and Brown trying to be funny all the time, which I'd probably leave that group as well. Looking into the future, as I said, I hope we follow the model that we did for Valley because it seemed to have worked this time. As I said, if we have made the £1.5 million profit, that's brilliant for our club. It depends on how much we put back into the squad or how much goes on to the debt. But I don't know if I want us to go out and sign someone permanently now, unless we can get them on a decent move, or do we wait till the summer? But then that means writing off another season, and then we get someone in the summer. Come January, we could be in the same situation again. But as you said, Jonathan, we are a selling club. You get someone that's decent in, they're soon going to be off, because that's what happens. Kevin, what did you want to say regarding it?
Good luck to the lad. Yeah, he's young. He's on peanuts with us. Okay, we've paid nothing for him. We've paid him peanuts. He's clearly the best striker in that league and probably in League One. So good luck to him. You can't begrudge him it. I personally think it's a gamble. And I think it's a gamble on both sides. I think it's a gamble for him, because if you look at the problems they've got, they need someone who can hit the ground running and score goals. Yeah. And I don't know whether he's going to go straight into a Championship side and score the amount of goals that they're going to need, because Southampton are closing in on them pretty quickly. Yeah. He's going to need to be there. If he ain't, then I can see him getting dropped rather quickly. Yeah. And secondly, if they do make the jump up, is he really going to cut the mustard? Is he going to be a Premiership striker? Probably not. So he's going to be back to doing what he's done at Wickham and Swansea before. So I hope it works for him, but I don't think necessarily it's the best move for him. I think it would have been better for him to stay where he was, come back, probably score the 25 goals he probably would have done, and then got the same move in the summer. You know, he wouldn't have been worth any less unless his leg fell off or something. So I'm not sure whether it's the right move for him. But as far as the money, I don't think we're going to see much of it, to be honest, mate. I think the money will go into the debt or the shortage in the club funds. So you know, I don't think we'll have thousands to replace him with. Who do you replace him with? You try and find another one, I guess, like we did with him last year. Whether you can do that 2 years running, I don't know. But yeah, I'm disappointed he's gone without a doubt, because I think with him, you know, we stood a good chance of sneaking into the playoffs. Without him, I don't know, unless we can find someone who's similar to him.
Yeah, I half agree with what you're saying regarding Allen. I think it actually is a good move for him, because he's going to a club like Ipswich. They've not got massive expectations. I know that their fans have come across like pricks the last couple of days when the rumour was going around that Ali was going to be leaving to them. I think one of them said they're the top 20th club, like massive club in the world, which blew my in the English 92, which kind of blew my mind. They maybe 20, 30 years ago was a massive club. They're not that big anymore, unfortunately. But I still think it's a good move. My only reservation with the move is I think McKenna will leave soon. I think it'll go to a Premiership club, and I think you might be right, the Ipswich might not be in the Prem, and he'll move on. And then Ali's got to go under a new manager who might not fancy him. I also look at what Jack Redoni has done, though, in the Championship, and I'd have Ali as a better player overall than Jack Redoni, in my personal opinion. I know they're two different positions, but I'd have Ali with his work rate, his pace, and also how young he is still. I think people forget how young he is. So I think it's a move that he has to make. His stock is very, very high at the moment, which is mainly because of us and himself. But I think it's a move, as you said, I don't think he's on lows at us either.
Oh, he's on 900 quid a week, mate. That's what he's on.
Yeah, and he's going to probably, what? That's going to go 10 times. He'll be on 9 grand a week.
I did a bit of research this afternoon. The lowest sort of the lowest sort of squad player is on 7 or 8 grand now. So you can guarantee it's probably going to be five figures. You'd imagine he's going there on.
And they're going to offer him a 2.5 year deal, 3 year, 4 year deal. Do you know what I mean? And on the money he's going to get, it's life changing money. He's going to a Championship team who look like they're on the up. They could be in the Premiership. Again, I don't think he's a Premiership striker, but he is young. He has that on his side. And I think he's probably thinking, this is a chance to go to a club that is on the up and see what I can do. Steve Palmer, what did you want to say? What did you want to say regarding the matter?
I think it's a bad move for him, to be honest. I really do, because I think he should have held on till the end of the season. You know, he's going to go in there and he's only sort of replacing George Hurst, who's injured at the moment. So as soon as he's fit again, I would imagine that he's just going to become another sort of like bench player, to be honest.
Yeah, it probably is right, to be fair. But if he gets in and he does well and he scores goals, I don't get why they would bring Hurst back in for him. It's the same as if we had a striker coming now and Ali was away and he was scoring goals and looked just as good as Ali, you'd keep him in the team. I agree what you're saying. I don't know if it's the greatest move, but then what is a good move for Ali at the moment? They're second in the Championship at the moment. I agree with Kieran. I think Southampton are going to pip them. They're second in the Championship. They're now at the FA Cup, which everyone saw the weekend. They got that to concentrate on now, just the league. They bring him in. They bring a couple more bodies in. Ipswich could be a Premiership club next year. My only reservation would be that the manager would be gone to a Palace next year or something like that regarding that deal. And that's my feeling, that he'll be gone into the Premiership next year, no matter what happens. So the rumours going around with regards to replacements for Ali, one big one at the moment is that we're looking at a striker from Solihull Moors. What's his name? Josh Kelly. So Josh Kelly's been mentioned on social media today. His record for Solihull is, he played for Maidenhead before. He scored 26 goals in 128 games. He scored 28 goals in 40 games on loan at Wharton Casuals. And he scored 22 goals in 70 games for Solihull Moors. That is one of the rumoured one. And there also is a rumour going around that we are after a centre-back, but I don't have any names or teams. But yes, yeah, another centre-back could be coming in on loan, which I think we need. I think everyone saw Ryan Johnson yesterday was in a boot. And yeah, he looks like he's probably going to be out now for the season. We have Sutcliffe, Pearce coming back. So I think we need a centre-back to come in. But yeah, Ali's replacement needs to be someone young. I'm guessing if we're signing someone from Solihull Moors, it's not going to be a loan to us. So that could be a permanent fixture that we're looking at. Do people have said it before? I said earlier that this is all very deja vu. We get to January, we lose a striker that's doing okay for us. In Ali's respect, he's doing really well for us. Is it deja vu, or do people trust Craig Cope? What do people think on that? Who wants to come in? Do people trust Craig Cope that we've got 3 days left now of the transfer window? Terry, I'll start with you, then I'll go to Kevin.
Yeah, I trust Cope. I mean, we've got to, haven't we? He's proved by the team he's helped assemble beginning of this season. But I think we've got to look at the gap that we think that's coming by Ali going might not be there, because we haven't had him all season. We've had clumps when he was out, until he plays his best football when he's not in the team. Because obviously somewhere or other, we change either Tilly's attitude or the shape of our team to bring Tilly more in. So when Ali's playing, Tilly sort of disappears. I mean, if you remember going back to the beginning of the season, we were waiting for Ali to come back from injury, and Tilly went on his best run of goal scoring. So it might not be just that bad, because when he does come back from this Asian Cup thing, if he was still with us, we're still going to lose him again in March, I believe. So it's a sort of a double-edged sword, isn't it?
No, I agree. I think that's the thing with Ali that I've got, that we'll take the glove if he leaves. It ain't that big a deal for me, is that we are going to be losing him again in March. And if we've got any chance of playoffs, we need every single player back, fit and raring to go. Kev, what did you want to say regarding it?
Deja vu, mate, 100%. Yeah, you sign Lewis and you think, that's it, we cracked it this year. We're not going to buckle. Yeah, we're building for this. We're going to really have a push on and go hard for this. And then 3 days before the end of the window, you shit the bed and sell your best player. I don't understand it, mate. You know, I really don't understand it. It's crazy to me. But do I trust Cope? A lot more than Will Daniels, yeah.
I could do a better scouting submission than Will Daniels. Don't right, Jonathan, what did you want to say? Now go to Saj.
Okay, so Craig Cope joined us like in the last half of the January transfer window last year. So I think we can only really judge him based on what he did over the summer and what he's done so far during this January transfer window. And what did he miss on? I mean, he got together a really good side that started the year. When we got into the January transfer window, he got Lewis to stay. He got in, he got Ronan Curtis to sign in, you know, for a short term, and he got Gordon to come in. I mean, I think those are really good, positive things. I don't see where the distrust of Craig Cope comes from, except for the fact that we're just jaded Wimbledon fans who, as you said, deja vu, have seen this before. But Craig Cope wasn't there the times that we did this before. He didn't sell Ollie Palmer without having a plan to get anybody else in. You know, so I think that we need to cut the guy a little more slack. I think that based on his performance, that we know is his performance as the head of football operations, I got to trust him. And I think that you know, just like any time, you can't judge a January transfer window until it's over. So I'm very hesitant to say anything bad about him until we see what happens between now and February 1st. But again, looking at what he's done so far, I'm very optimistic that we are going to make at least one more move sometime between now and the end of the window.
No, I think you're right, Jonathan. I think maybe trust is the wrong word. Maybe, you know what I mean, you're correct with that. He was here last January. He signed Ali. Do you know what I mean? We signed Bugle in the summer. We signed Tilly. We signed Johnson. Do you know what I mean? That's without the loan players. We signed Lewis now permanently. He's looking with Jackson as well to be building a strong foundation. So if we didn't make the playoffs this year, we'll be just as strong next year. And I think it will be a weaker League Two next year. I think Chesterfield are coming up from the conference. And it depends on who comes down, but it looks like most of the teams that have been in this division before, and nothing to be scared of regards to that. I think you're right. I think maybe do we trust him is maybe the wrong wrong question, really. Are we confident that Craig Coke can do a stellar job that he's done so far? Maybe would have been better. So, yeah, thanks to Jonathan for pulling me up on that. Sanch, what did you want to say?
I think Cope even, his track record so far has been good with us. I mean, you said Solly Hill-Moores. He's got to be better than Cole Hudlin, hopefully. He made Davison look like Messi. But I think we've got to be careful. We don't want to panic buy, because the big issue is, and I heard you and Danny Baker talk about it on the podcast, it's so tight between where we are now and 16th. There's, what, 6 points? So ultimately, you are going to need someone to bang in goals regularly. But where will we really, unless the club have been talking about this behind the scenes because they've foreseen this coming, where are we going to get someone with such short notice? Let's hope they've been doing a little bit of background work on someone, and they'll surprise us all over the next few days.
And this is where Craig Cope will earn his money. This is where he will be ahead of the game, hopefully, that the fact that we know that Ali's going to be wanted. So you're always thinking, we're going to have to sell Ali at one point, right? So I'm hoping that Craig Cope has set in motion months ago people that we might, if a good enough offer, which it seems to be, has come in. I think someone's just made the point here regarding, I'll go to some of the messages in a minute. Tim Lloyd, we have to sell Ali for debt. He wants to go, get the cash and move on. Kind of agree with that now. And I think that's probably what Craig Coe probably thought a month ago before the January window even started, going, Ali's going away. We might keep him because he is in Qatar. Like, do you know what I mean? Ipswich now sending people over there to do medicals and stuff, which you don't normally get at our level. Do you know what I mean? So we hopefully had a short list of strikers that you've gone, right, if we have to sell Ali, this is how much we're selling him at. This is the players that we probably can get. As I said before, when Craig Cope first came in, Craig Cope has an inventory of every player in the Football League, non-league, what they're earning, how much they're worth. The only problem I've got is we've only got 3 days now to get a deal over the line. That might be a bit tight. But the Kyle Hudlin one, Sanch, I think is quite funny, because I still think we signed him for a publicity stunt, and that was it, really, because he weren't that good at Solihull. We only played a few games for him, and he scored important goals. But, yeah, he was never going to be good enough for us. Dan Baker's made a point regarding, what about Paul McCallum at Eastleigh? He is 30, but seems to be doing well. Born in Streatham, so a local lad, could be worth a shot. For me, it's a no-go on Paul McCallum. He is local and stuff, but as you said, he's 30 years old. We need to be looking at someone who's going to come in, score goals, and be ready possibly for next season and the year after, and then move on for money again. The Ali mould, that's how we need to look at it going forward. I don't think we need to bring Paul McCallum in now. He does okay in League 2. We get, say, in the playoffs or get promoted, and then he's rubbish in League 1. We need players who are going to come in now. If we don't just make it this year, we're going to have a solid team to go at it and get automatics next year, and then have a good and okay League One team, just a couple of additions to bring in. As I said, we've got a solid base now. We've got Lewis, Johnson, and then we will need fullbacks, but some of the kids coming through look good. Hallard, I see him training the other day, he looks good as well. But yeah, that's got to be our model, I think, in getting players in. Manjul Hardin makes a point. It's also worth noting Ali will move on to a life-changing contract in terms of financial reward. How can we stop him leaving? It's sadly how modern football works. And I think I agree with that. I think Jonathan touched on that earlier regarding where we are as a club. We're a selling club. Unfortunately, as I said on the podcast during the week, I love Wimbledon FC. I love the fact we used to get diamonds from non-league, lower leagues, and they'd turn them. Nowadays, players do not stay at clubs for that long. They're there for a year, 2 years. There's none of this 5 years, 6 years, one club men anymore. There's a few of them about, but there's not that many. And it's a shame, really, because you don't really have heroes in football anymore. And as much as Ali was a hero to a lot of us, the money is just too important to turn down. And as I said, it will be a life-changing sum. And as I said, the only ones who are going to be upset is our media team, who won't have 80,000 Iraqis liking all the posts and putting Iraq flags underneath every single one of them now. Kevin, what did you want to say?
I'd pick up on Dan's point, yeah. What would you sooner have? Yeah, I'll ask this question. What would you sooner have? A youngster who was totally unproven, who might not score the goals to get you in the playoffs and possibly get you up this year, or take a punt on somebody who's got a lot more experience that could get you the goals, that could get you in the playoffs and get you up?
I think you've got to look at it long term. And as I said, I think you take the youngster over someone who's going to get you the goals, because he might not get you the goals this year. He might struggle in League 2. he might get an injury when he comes in, and we're stuffed anyway. I'd rather get a young player in now who has something to prove in Football League, who wants to come full time, and go from there, like we did with Ali. Remember, look at Ali's record. When people, Wickham fans couldn't wait to get rid of Ali, they said he was horrendous, a couple of them. Do you know what I mean? And look how that's proven now. And I think we have to look at a mould and a model now, where we go look for young players who want to be proven as football. I think that's not what we're doing with Ronan Curtis, because he's older, but we've given him a lifeline now in football again. And you can see what it meant to him scoring after missing football for 344 days. Do you know what I mean? This ain't just their job, it's their passion. They've been doing it since they were 8 years old, 9 years old, 10 years old.
It's a job, isn't it? That's why Ali's going to Ipswich, because it's a job.
It's also, he wants to go and play at the highest level that he could possibly play at. So Ipswich is that. If Ipswich get in the Premier League, he will be a Premier League footballer next year. Even if he plays or not, he will be a Premier League footballer on 10 grand a week, instead of playing for AFC Wimbledon in League Two on 900 quid a week. It's a job, but it's also their passion that they've done, and they want to play at the highest level. Do you know what I mean? And I'd rather get a youngster who wants to come and play football for Wimbledon and put everything he can in for a year or two before making that leap up to the Championship again. I think some of our best players that we've had who have gone, Asau, Radoni, Ali, they've all gone for good money because they've come in from not being at good clubs like Wickham to us, and Radoni and Asau in our own new team, but they've got that drive and passion to actually go, well, I'm going to move on to bigger and better things. Some people might say Asau kind of let that slip, but the keys is living on what, 40 grand a week, tax free in where is he now? Saudi Arabia, Qatar, somewhere like that.
Probably Rudy's the only one you could say that. The other two, Asau's just gone for the money, didn't he? Yeah, you know, and why wouldn't you? Why wouldn't you go for 40 grand tax free? Someone who's never going to make Premiership, and realistically, he needed to be a low level Prem player, didn't he, to get anywhere near that? Never going to get there. So why wouldn't you?
Would you have been surprised if we had sold him to a Championship team when we sold him?
I don't think he played Championship football with Sal. I think he'd probably gone to a League One club.
Would you have been surprised if he had gone to the Championship when we sold him? Everyone thought he was going to the Championship. You would have been surprised?
Yeah, I would, yeah.
I wouldn't. I thought he was going to the Championship. I thought Sal could have played a higher level. It's a shame we couldn't have had all three of them, Ali, Sal, and Radoni, but you know, that's not how football works. Unfortunately. Barry Hollett has made a good point. I could be wrong, but I think yesterday was the first league game we have won when Ali has been away with Iraq and not in the squad, not just this Asia Cup. I think that's right. I'm not sure, I haven't got it in front of me, so I think he's right. I think we all agree, though, that a striker is massive, and that we have to bring one in, because we can't go with Josh Davison until the end of the season. Just Josh Davison. Sasu's not a striker anymore, he's a winger. McLean's a winger, and Ronan Curtis is not a striker either. He plays just behind Bugle. We've seen what he can do now. He's better in that number 10 role than the number 9 role. Anyone else has any rumours on players that they think might be coming in, other than the couple that we've mentioned tonight? Again, if you want to say something regarding the Ali situation, press the speak button, put some messages in the comments, and we'll go through them best we can. But yeah, it looks like Ali Al-Hamadi will be leaving within the next couple of days. Ipswich have flown medical team out to Qatar to do a medical, and that says to me that an agreement has been accepted. Do you think it will be the people that are speaking now and the people do you think it would be down as an undisclosed fee now? Do you think that will be the case, which would be quite annoying, because I'd love to know what it is, because questions would need to be asked to the board if it isn't around that £2 million mark. Jonathan?
I think the club will say that it's undisclosed, but I think that the amount will get out there. And I think those of us who follow the financials will be able to tease it out and confirm it in the appropriate amount of time. I think we will know. We may not know eventually. You know, I don't think we'll know immediately. I don't think the club communications is going to say anything other than an undisclosed fee for now, but I think that you know, we'll have a good sense of what it is. And in, you know, 6 months time, we will definitely be able to confirm it. That's the way it was with Rodoni. I mean, you know, they called it an undisclosed fee, but we figured it out pretty quickly. We're, you know, with the exception of you, Lee, we're all pretty bright as Wimbledon fans.
Jonathan, that's
I'm
that's
sorry, crazy. I had to.
harsh but fair. And also, it'll come out into the accounts anyway when the accounts are done, because obviously, fans of club, we can see what the accounts are when they come out, and people will know. My problem with it at the moment, and I know it's all rumours and it's speculation at the moment until Ipswich or ourselves come out and say something. What I don't get is why have the club not said that we have received a bid from Ipswich for Al Hamadi, and he's currently speaking to him. That just seems a bit off for me, and maybe we might. Part of me thinking we might keep hold of him because, as I said, some people said, "Oh, the club can't say everything. We can't put it out." But we could also tell the fans that we have received a bid from Ipswich for striker Al Ali Hamadi, and he is speaking to Ipswich. I don't get why we haven't done that, Kevin.
Mate, it's probably the same reason we don't know how bad Johnson's foot is, even though he was seen hopping down the line after they scored. Mate, it comes back to the comms again, mate, doesn't it? It's shocking, you know. It's mushroom time, isn't it? But yeah, they ain't going to say, are they? And for the fee, I think we'll want it undisclosed. And I don't think Ipswich would be too bothered, to be quite honest with you. But I think we'll want to keep it undisclosed.
Yeah, I agree. I think our comms are shocking. As I said, we said it regarding the MK game, how the comms for me was pretty poor. And then yesterday I'm watching an official channel and see an MK fanboy on an official channel who wrote an apology letter to the MK supporters club. He's now been invited to speak on Wimbledon TV, which I thought was ridiculous. But do you know what I mean? It's mad how our comms are with stuff, you know what I mean? We're very hypocritical sometimes with what we say and then put out ourselves. And yeah, I thought it was ridiculous yesterday, but we won 1-0. We won 2-1 with a last minute winner, so you can't moan too much. Anyway, what's that, Kev?
No, I didn't say anything like that. I wasn't snickering.
it's ridiculous. You can't mention MK at all, but you can get someone who wrote their MK supporters an apology letter for saying that they weren't the real Wimbledon. It's ridiculous, but that's just me. Anyone else want to say anything regarding yesterday's 2-1 win or anything regarding Ali leaving? Also, Ollie's like to add that I've seen rumours Ipswich might sign Sam Gallagher from Blackburn. Could be a small lifeline on keeping Ali. This is the thing. This is why I think the club should come out and say we've received a bid and Ali is speaking, because it is all rumours. It leaves fans talking. It leaves fans hearing rumours that he's done this, he's done that. I think someone said earlier on here that if Ali doesn't go anywhere, there could be some ill feeling towards him because he's trying to force a move. No one knows if that's true. I don't think we should be saying stuff like that. And as I said, the club should come out and say we have received a bid and we're allowing Ali to speak to Ipswich. I don't get why we can't do that. Jonathan.
I think you're too hard on the comms, folks, Lee. I think that what benefit is there? Because if we say that we got a bid from Ipswich and then the deal doesn't go through, then you just get criticized for something else, you know? I think that it is a no-win situation when you're doing that kind of thing. And I don't have a problem with the club being relatively tight-lipped until it's official, because if they get in the business of like giving us updates on things that may or may not happen, then if they don't happen, you know, fans will give them stick. If it does happen, they'll get stick. It's a no-win situation. So I don't really have a problem with them waiting until it's official to tell us what's going on.
I agree. But if we've received a bid, that's kind of official. So we've received a bid. It's not we're coming out and saying, oh, there is a rumor that Ipswich might be buying Ali Hamadi. We've not heard anything yet.
But if we say there's a bid, then like, well, what's the bid for? Is it for £2 million or is it for, you know, is it for 35 quid and a year's worth of toad in the hole? I mean, you know, then you get into, well, like what is the bid even for? And then you get into all of that. And I don't know. I think let the negotiating happen where it needs to happen with the people who are actually going to make the decisions, and then let us know what happened when it's over. I'm okay with that.
I get that. I just think keeping the fans updated so there's not all this rumour mill going around, all these rumours. Just say we've received a bid and Ali is speaking to. We don't need to know the fee. We don't need to know that at the moment. But as I said, saying that's an official bid, that's kind of official. Do you know what I mean? We're a fans owned club. Yeah. I also want to know how you know what toad in the hole is. You don't have that in America, so you must be getting more.
There is what I've been told is a respectable English pub in St. Louis. It's not as good as what y'all have, but I've told it's respectable.
Kevin, what did you want to say? Now come to some of the comments we received.
I can't believe he's picked toad in the hole. He could have picked any food in his toad. coming back on that, why, as soon as we made the bid for Lewis, it was there, wasn't it? Yeah, we said we'd made the bid for Lewis. We were looking to sign him. He was just going through the medical. If we put that out there, why would you not come out and just say, yeah, we've had a bid, we're talking about it, we're discussing it, and just make it public knowledge?
Agree, and someone's just made a comment here. Pads has gone, yet Jackson did an interview for the South West London Press yesterday, basically confirming they've bidded and his head's been turned. Yeah. Do you know what I mean? And he's doing that interview with the local RAC, which is fine. But then our own club should then be coming out and saying, yep, we have received a bid, and Ali's going to be talking to it, Switch.
But it comes back to the comms again, doesn't it? If you read the South London Press interviews, yeah, they will always ask the questions that the club won't. Yeah, and we've been, you know, we know why it is, but they'll always ask those awkward questions, won't they? And they've obviously asked it, and he's tried to sort of half agree and dodge it, hasn't he, if you read the interview?
No, I agree. The local papers will always ask the hard questions, same as the fans will always say that they need to be asked by the club, and the club are never going to ask any harsh questions. No. I think we all have to agree that the club are employed by the club, and they're not going to come out and put Jackson under it. I think last year, some of the players called out Chris for saying that they thought Robbo got him sacked or something like that. Ridiculous. Jamie Scorer, what about Dobra from Chesterfield? He is young. It's just a thought. There's no chance we're getting anyone from Chesterfield. Chesterfield are flying high in the conference and they're spending more money than we are. So there's no chance he'll come to us at the moment because they'll be in League Two and he'll be on more money. Graham Stacey, I think it's now Don's Trust policy not to disclose fees. Might be in the minute somewhere from the last 12 months. Obviously, not well communicated. Well, that makes a change to the Dunn's Trust. And Jonathan, one for you. Dan Baker, who is on here, has sent a comment. Wait, where are my comments from? He's in St. Louis next week, which is, where is this pub?
it's near St. Louis University. It's called the King's Arms, I think. I'll look it up here in just a second. I've been there a number of times. It's good.
There you go, Dan. Right.
I'll answer it in the comments.
Jonathan's gonna find out of it. Let us know what the toad in the hole is like. Is it good gravy? Do you know what I mean? And then in a couple of weeks, because there's gonna be no debrief next week unless someone wants to take it. Jack Mountain usually does it, but he's not on here right now. I'm in Dublin for the weekend, so I won't be doing the debrief next Sunday. I'll be in a state of recovery. But yeah, I think we're going to close it up now. Thanks everyone for listening. Thanks again to everyone for taking part. Remember, this only works when people have a say. All opinions matter. It don't matter if you agree with us or you disagree. Come on, have your say. It's the only place where women and fans do get a say. We'll be back, me and Danny Baker, with a podcast next week. I said no debrief next Sunday as I'm away. But yeah, thanks everyone for listening. It does mean a lot and getting involved. Hopefully another good week and hopefully a couple of players coming in. And hopefully we might not lose Ali Alamadi, but yeah, it doesn't look great. But yeah, come on you Dons.